Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
Hi, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the dirt sheet, the only place you need to be going for your pro wrestling news right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and that little bell next to it to notify you whenever new Going In Raw content comes out. Also on the iOS podcast app, if you hit subscribe, your feed will always be seated with our show. I don't know.
I was waiting to see where you up with that.
I am hot. Look at that.
Oh, you mean exposure?
Yeah.
We'll take care of it in post.
Okay.
We're also on Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We just revamped the entire thing last week.
Yeah, we did.
So check it out.
We have a $200,000 tier that apparently we literally can't even happen.
It's interesting they even let you do it.
Yeah, I know. Like, well, according to, we're only getting our information from our friend NerdCube Dan's.
We'll look into it.
Patreon.
We'll look into
apparently
it.
Apparently, you can't go over $9,000. Anyways, but it's there if you want to try. I mean, you can just cut us a check for $200,000 and he'll too sweet me. See if anybody's cut us a check yet. No too sweet yet. But anyways, yeah, we've had a good response to it so far. The $5 best value tier has 3 live streams every week that you can be a part of whenever we shoot our recap shows. You can come watch us and hang out and chat with us a little bit. We were talking about My Morning Jacket earlier today with the live stream crowd. We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. We currently have 10 designs right now, more to come. I have to remember. Oh yeah, you got to shave your beard so I can.
Yeah, we'll
take
do
a
that.
Picture
we'll do that. I'll do that this weekend.
Don't
and then Monday.
Shave the beard,
and then Monday we'll take the pictures.
Clean that some bitch up, Larson.
Yeah, I'll make it look nice.
That's good.
But it's the dirt sheet. We're here to talk about wrestling news. It's been kind of a slow news week.
It's funny because, like, you know, all of professional wrestling news. It kind of we go the way of the WWE. If the WWE has something exciting going on, then our numbers go up, and there generally tends to be more news to talk about, like especially during Royal Rumble season, WrestleMania season, signees, new people coming.
Surprise returns.
Contracts ending.
Yes.
Barring somebody getting arrested, this is the time of the year when there's not a whole lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's our job to find things to talk about, so talk about things we shall.
Yeah, exactly.
So there is a story that kind of came out earlier this week.
Let's talk about something depressing. Wrestling fans being old, Larson.
Well,
we're old.
We are. So this is apparently an accurate report.
This is for us.
Yeah, the Sports Business Journal report on a study which was conducted for them by Magna Global.
That,
quote, according to a striking study of Nielsen television viewership data of 25 sports, all but one have seen their median age of their TV viewers increase during the past decade. And it continues, it showed that while the median age of viewers of most sports, except the women's tennis, NBA, and Major League Soccer, is aging faster than the U.S. population overall, it is doing so at a slower pace than primetime television. Mm. How does this relate to wrestling? Mm. Happy I asked, Larson. Yeah,
good job.
Wrestling saw the largest increase in median age across the last decade, up to 54 years. God. So that doesn't mean the average wrestling fan is 54 years old. Yeah. This means median is like the number right in the middle. It's not average.
Right in the middle. Okay, so if that's right smack dab in the middle, does that mean the oldest wrestling fan is 108 years old?
Potentially.
I mean, that makes some sense. Anyway, it's very old. All very old.
An increase of 26 years since 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And an increase of 21 years in just the last decade.
So since 2000, that was 17 years ago,
it's seen an increase. Well, this data is from 2016, so 16 years ago.
16 years ago, it was 26.
No, 16 years ago, it was 28.
Oh, it was 28. It's jumped up 26 years.
Yes. And that's 21 weird. Of those years just in the last decade.
So much of that is so weird.
I know.
So much of that is weird.
The median age in 2000 was 28, as I mentioned, 33 in 2006, and 54 in 2016.
You would think that that would mean that, you know, the advertise was like, what, 18 to 34?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, historically speaking, but the, you know, there's been demographic shifts in terms of TV viewership. You know, obviously recently, but historically speaking as well, as far as the demographic they want to specifically target where they're at.
Yeah.
As far as younger viewers under the age of 18, at one point in 2000, pro wrestling had the largest percentage of its viewership of viewers under 18, 32%. It is now 9%.
Wow.
So for, it went from being tops of all sports back in 2000 to being tied, I think, for like sixth, along with UFC, the NFL, college football, and college basketball.
Yeah.
So that's a huge drop.
No, that's a big drop. You don't want your the people growing up with you. You don't want the young kids who are entering into wrestling, getting into wrestling, and then not. You don't want them dying within the next 20 years. You want them dying over the next 50 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so if 9% is down from, what did you say, 20%? Something like that?
32.
32. Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
So in 2000, basically a full third of the wrestling audience was younger than 18. Sorry.
I've mentioned this before once, I think last week or earlier this week, that the parallel between this study and anecdotally what I've read about with comic books is pretty striking. And, you know, wrestling, I've often referred to it as, you know, there are definite elements of comic books.
Yes.
In wrestling, you know, either the costumes or the serialized nature of it. And it's sort of striking because, you know, there is that sort of one of the biggest problems that the big two publishers, DC and Marvel, have had is building up their young fan base.
Yes.
Because, I mean, to be frank, especially with comics, it's so difficult. Number one, they have sort of the problem that, that sort of books have in that the whole but everything electronic has caught on seemingly except for really books.
Yeah.
Because the number of physical books being sold still outpaces and isn't dying compared to their e-counterparts.
Yes.
And I'm not sure where it stands with comics, but it wouldn't surprise me the same thing. But it's really difficult to keep up with comic books in their sort of thin form, that the traditional way we know them.
Yeah.
And so with Marvel and DC, their reader base just gets older, and they haven't really successfully been able to fill in the younger.
Well,
refresh their fan base.
They've been able to refresh their fan base, but not through printed comic books, but through the movie adaptations of them. So the properties can still
stay
alive and thrive, more profitable.
By far where their money comes from, licensing and movies.
Yes. The study and several other articles I've read about it, it just makes it crystal clear the pretty stark difference between, in terms of age, between those who still get their entertainment from old media, TV, print media, stuff like that, versus the, you know, those, you know, like the generations after ours, pretty much. We were kind of the ones that was kind of on the tipping point, because we still, I mean, you cut the cord. You don't have cable anymore. I do.
Yeah.
But when all that stuff was more or less coming up when we were in our 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
Mid-20s and 30s.
Yeah.
So we've seen the evolution of new media from the very beginning to what it is now. So it's an interesting perspective, I think, for us to have, you know, because we were both born, you know, when cable TV was getting popular. Mm-hmm. We were alive then, sorry. Like, I remember when we got MTV in our house.
Yeah.
Huge day.
Yeah.
So we've kind of seen the whole breadth of this evolution of entertainment from just broadcast TV to cable to now YouTube, streaming on Netflix, and Hulu.
Weird corner of the internet.
Yeah.
Can be considered like entertainment. I was pulling up this Joey Ryan's first viral penis plex video. It's got over 500,000 views, and I wonder, you know, how many people have seen that but have never watched the WWE product.
How many people have seen that but never seen him wrestle another match?
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. I also pulled up our own channel analytics, not to get too deep into them, but I mean, we're still at our biggest demographic by far, over half of our audience is between 25 and 34 years, but that's more indicative of, like you said, the traditional media, television versus like YouTube.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, what do you think this all sort of, what does that all boil down to? This is kind of, you know, a little bit related to the fact that, you know, TV viewership
as a whole, as we talked about last week, is mm-hmm. down.
Down.
Ratings for Raw specifically mm-hmm. are down. Ratings for WWE product overall are down versus, you know, certainly Attitude Eras.
Yeah.
But down over the last 5 years. It's interesting. We've talked in the past about how, for the most part, a lot of WWE product you don't have to watch on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You can, between YouTube and Twitter, mm-hmm. you can watch most of it.
Yeah.
And after seeing this study, that strategy makes a lot more sense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The fact that they are, you know, taking smaller clips from their larger show, putting it up on YouTube, make it more easily digestible mm-hmm. for people who want to watch stuff on their phone.
Yeah.
I mean, in one sense, I can understand why their ratings are down, because people think, well, why do I want to sit through a 3-hour show when mm-hmm. I just watch the good bits on my phone?
Yeah. The trick I would think, to bring it back to that comic book analogy I was making, is if their TV, the problem is if their TV viewership, let's say that is equivalent to like the thin comic book, traditional mm-hmm, comic mm-hmm. books. Well, comic books, like we said, they have big movies, they have licensing, which is a lot. You know,
yeah.
you go to the store and you see a million different Superman things with the toys, toothbrushes, all that kind of stuff. Wrestling doesn't really have that. That is, you know, that's the big bulk of their, what is it, $160 million TV deal. What is that per year
mm-hmm,
they get?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, I mean, they have the network, which I do think to a degree future proofs the company. But it seems to be that would be kind of a race to develop more hardcore fans who would buy into the network. But, you know, like we've said also before, They have, which is a crazy number, literally half the number of people that watch Raw at this point
subscribe to the network.
In terms of
yeah.
sheer numbers,
yeah.
well, it's 1.5 million subscribers. That's a massive number compared to their base product.
Yeah.
So really they're already doing really good in yes. terms of subscribership. You know, when people say, well, couldn't they ever get to like 5 million? That's not a hugely likely thing right now.
No. I mean, it seems like the ceiling at best, I'm just throwing this out there, is probably about 2.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the best they could hope for.
And to be honest, like one of the bigger problems also is they don't have another John Cena. If there is any guy that all the kids know, it's John Cena. And there is nobody in, like, I'm sorry, but Roman, like, John Cena is so singularly able to connect to the younger audience these days. For a variety of reasons, you
yeah.
know, it's like not only does he appear in shows that appeal to, like, I don't know what the generation is after millennials, but let's say, like, you know, the tweens to teens, like he appears in programming that, you know, sort of, you know, reaches them. Every like little kid that's into wrestling is into John Cena, and there's nobody to replace him.
Yeah.
You know, there's nobody that has that kind of. Because he looks like almost a cartoon character, but then he also looks like a big buff Mark Wahlberg-ish looking guy. And he's also got amazing comedic chops. He mm-hmm, shows up mm-hmm. on, you know, movies like the Will Ferrell Mark Wahlberg movie, mm-hmm. Daddy's Home. Mm-hmm. He's going to be in the sequel to that. They have nobody that has that kind of appeal. I mean, that's the Hulk Hogan appeal from back in the day.
Yeah.
And when the Attitude Era was hot, when it was college-age kids, Stone Cold was, there was a reason why he was the man. It was because everybody, you know, the college kids love Stone Cold.
Yeah.
And that was enough.
Yeah.
They don't have anybody right now who is, and the fact that they ever even considered Sheamus to be that shows how, I don't know.
Out of touch they are.
Out of touch they might be.
Dave Meltzer, the Wrestling Observer, spoke about this study in this week's newsletter and mentioning, this is a quote, "Pro wrestling that's gathered a lot of new fans were made from 97 to 2000 when, you know, Stone Cold, The Rock, Bill Goldberg, the NWO were hot properties. Those 20-year-olds are now 37 to 40.
Hi. Oh,
yeah. I know. Of the audience that is still around, it's heavily skewed to those people as opposed to more new 20-year-olds. What's notable about today's wrestling is that they do bring their kids to the family-friendly shows, and there are kids who follow it, but they are minuscule compared to the past. He goes on to say later on that, you know, back in maybe the 80s or 90s,
mm-hmm, yeah,
that kids would bring their parents
to
the shows.
Right, right, right.
Now he seems to think it's the opposite,
yeah,
where parents who are still a fan are bringing their kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, anecdotally speaking, anyways, for you and I know I'm itching to bring... I mean, I took, you know, my niece, I mm-hmm. took Talita mm-hmm. to the NXT show we went mm-hmm. to, and she had a blast with it. So, yeah, I mean, look, here's the bottom line is you want to be able to reload your fan base from
yes.
an early age. You need to keep on replenishing it. Otherwise, wrestling's going to die with these 54-year-olds in 20 to 30 years.
When or they'll have to completely change how they broadcast their product.
Yeah, which, I mean, they're, you know, again, with the network, they're getting to that point. But you need that wide TV exposure in the first place.
No, you do. You do. But I'm not even talking just in terms of their platform. I'm talking about it until how they actually structure their product.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
will they continue to do three-hour shows, yeah, or will they find it's more beneficial financially in terms of exposure to new audience to literally either stream individual matches,
mm-hmm.
either to the network or to YouTube?
Yeah.
You know? Or is there some platform yet to be created that they can use to get, you know, more viewership from younger audiences.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, I think, you know, I honestly think that having a John Cena-esque guy who can cross so many different platforms is one key.
And well, yeah, I understand that, but, you know, the huge dip in just the last 10 years, which
happened
has been,
on Cena's watch.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point to make. So, yeah, I don't know. They need to get younger, though. That's for
mm-hmm.
sure. Because I ain't gonna cut it.
No.
But I mean, and I also wonder if they're, you know, it's obvious they have this sort of strategy now. And we're gonna talk about the UK show here next. But diversifying their product internationally could help
yeah.
with that.
Yeah.
Having a lot of different product for people to watch could help. But the entertainment landscape right now it's so difficult to crack because there's so many different options out
yes.
there. And it's like, you know, they do, they are doing a lot of things right, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Things, I mean, but when you look back at the Attitude Era, when it caught hot, it all boiled down to the product was good.
Oh, I know.
The product was just damn good.
Yeah, it was.
And if they can catch fire like that, then, you know, they have the possibility of succeeding. And I think that if they're offering like they are, like they're trying to do offering, I don't know, I'm kind of torn. Like, what do you think? They offer a variety of product. They're going to be offering a variety of product. They're making, you know, with this Mae Young Classic, it seems like they're going to be trying to, because if you look at our analytics for our female fan base, it's, and you know, it's 8% in that 25 to 34 year old demographic, and that's YouTube, not TV. But at the same time, there's a lot of product to digest.
Yes.
You know, so they also need to make sure that they're not requiring everybody to watch everything.
All of it. Yeah. And risk oversaturation and alienating viewers because there's just too much to,
right.
to watch on a weekly basis. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. There's a balance that needs to be struck, I would imagine, between providing people with a wealth of content, but not mm-hmm. too much.
Yeah.
And so long as enough of their content can stand on its own,
mm-hmm.
then I think that'd be beneficial to all of it, for fear of, as you mentioned, just having it too much.
Yeah.
And people
yeah.
getting burnt out.
I mean, it's funny with the network. I wonder how much they're like, you know, how much money they're putting in versus what results they're seeing. But when they throw a lot of things at the wall, like the Foley reality show, Dinner for Three seems like it's such an easy thing. I mean, that honestly just seems like hardcore fan service.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. I love that stuff. You and I both love that stuff, but it seems really cheap to produce, which is great.
Because mm-hmm.
it probably means we're going to get more of it. But, you know, animation isn't cheap to produce.
No.
You know? And they have that Camp WWE, so that's not cheap to produce.
They've nope.
got, but they do seem to throw a lot of stuff at the wall to see what sticks. And I'm not sure. I mean, I know they want to give people watching the network bang for their buck. They already do that by giving their pay-per-views away for free.
Basically, yeah.
Know? So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much they want to invest in that kind of, like, that diverse of a product.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Especially if it's not, you know, paying dividends.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of paying dividends and diversification of product internationally, UK show update. We've got an update on a UK show last
week. Yeah, Pro Wrestling Sheet has
having a big election over there today.
Exclusive report from Pro Wrestling Sheet.
The Tories are in control.
They reported some new details about the long-rumored United Kingdom show.
Yay!
It was just within the last couple weeks, I think,
this'll
that
get them out of their
Tom doldrums. Phillips mentioned this show on air. I think it was during the Pete Dunne
he did
match a couple weeks ago against, what was his name?
Birch.
Danny yes, Birch. Danny Birch. So, according to Pro Wrestling Sheet, these are the details.
Here's the details.
TV tapings will happen every 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would hope that's over 2 days. Because doing 6 hours of television in one day is going
to
be rough.
You would think that would have to be over 2 days.
Live events will happen every other week. I'm guessing that means tours.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Week on, week off. So I read this. I thought, so, you know, the contracted talents, you know, do their UK shows, WWE, and then they have the following week to work either shows in the UK
mm-hmm.
or elsewhere, overseas. Yeah.
But also this next point kind of yes, addresses also. That as well. UK talent, I'll take this one.
Fine.
All right. UK talent such as Pete Dunne, Trent Seven, Mark Andrews, et cetera, have signed updated contracts, which makes them available for work at the Performance Center when they're not needed for UK shows.
So we can see more of them in NXT.
Correctamundo. So
which is good.
That's good stuff. Cross-promotion,
yes,
synergy.
Crossover. Again, having product that can stand on its own. But it's always great to see crossover.
I want some cool branding too, man. I just don't want them to call it the WWE UK show.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Like, what is ICW show? Fight Club or something like that? I want something cool like that, man. I want some cool branding to this.
Yes.
That's all I care about. And good stories.
And good matches.
Every storyline starts out at a pub over a pint. A trivial matter over a pint. After one too many pints is how every storyline should come from. Mm-hmm. Correct?
No.
No? No good?
No.
Oh, man. I love that. That's good. Can they do episodes once a year where they all switch gimmicks? They all trade gimmicks?
See, that's like an idea I can get behind.
Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate did.
Yeah, that was
That'd
good.
That'd be kind of fun if they did that.
Not only do they trade gimmicks, apparently they recreated their match from TakeOver Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Oh, one. That's what I was going to say about the age issue was I noticed that so NBA 2K has that weird sort of subculture of gaming stuff. I was watching somebody's live stream the other day and he was doing the online gaming at the park, I think it is, on NBA 2K.
Oh.
And man, some of the it's crazy with some, like, you know, you remember how you and I when we'd play as Robin Stevens,
mm-hmm.
we'd just sort of truck up and down and we'd move around and stuff because our character wasn't attributed very much.
Yeah.
Once you attribute these guys up, they're like running all over the place. Playing I was watching these two on two, these online guys playing, and they do some of the craziest moves. I'm taking the scenic route to this point. But there seems to be kind of a now that 2K has the WWE license they have for a couple of years now, it wouldn't surprise me if they want to grow that to the same
yes.
level.
Yes.
If they get to that point, I could see that being a major point into getting younger guys, younger people into the actual product.
Yes.
That to me, I think is a good, it's kind of like one way to approach it these
yeah.
days.
Yeah.
The video games, Larson, yes. the video games.
We all know that esports are a huge thing these days.
There you go. So anyways, yeah, moving on. The UK stuff, I think it's good. Every
hopeful.
Story
We're
line,
hopeful that it'll actually happen sometime this year.
Well, yeah, it's supposed to. I think they said, I think they're supposed to be start taping this summer. Where did I read that? God, I don't know. I think it might have been Meltzer. Yeah, I think it was Meltzer.
Oh.
I don't know. I'll look it up and we'll source it.
That'd be great.
But they said that probably not as soon as this month, but maybe next month. They're going to be shooting that in a minute. Imminently.
Cool.
Yeah, awesome.
Since it is a light news week, and we do have a huge, huge,
huge,
huge,
huge
New Japan show coming up.
Huge.
We thought we'd offer up our moderately informed predictions.
Oh, no. I haven't watched New Japan in forever.
Nor have I. As far as what's going to happen at Dominion, which goes down this weekend, I am excited.
Boy. Oh, boy. Me too.
So first,
who's in the New Japan Rumble?
That's only at Wrestle Kingdom.
I want one here, too.
Not going to happen. I didn't include. There's two other tag matches.
Not going to happen.
I didn't include two other tag matches because it's they're just the tag matches they have to give more people a spot in the card.
Oh, okay.
These are all the matches, all the title matches, plus Cody versus Michael Elgin.
I notice you have Steve and then Larson. Is this an official predictions episode?
No, it doesn't have to be.
Oh, come on. It can be.
Okay, fine.
You don't have to throw cold water and everything. All right, here we go.
So the first match I have here is a gauntlet match for the NEVER Six-Man Overweight Tag Team Championships. We have LIJ, Bushi, Evil, and Sonata, who are the champions currently.
Yeah, man.
They are taking on...
Dude, it's all the factions.
Yeah, it is.
It's LIJ versus Bullet Club versus Chaos versus Taguchi Japan and versus Suzuki Gun. This is fantastic. And I have no idea who to pick here. Although, I'm going to say... Wait, who's representing Bullet Club here?
I'm looking that up right now.
Is Chase Owens one of them?
No.
No?
It's Bad Luck Fale, Hangman Page, and Takahashi.
And the Tokyo Pimp. Oh, interesting. Okay, who's representing... Okay, so LIJ we know. Who's representing Chaos?
Ishii, Yano, and Yoshihashi.
Loose Explosion?
Suzuki Goon is Taichi Kanemaru and Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh, Zack Sabre Jr. Oh.
Taguchi Japan is Juice Robinson, Ricochet, and Taguchi.
Who's currently the champs?
LIJ.
Boy, Taguchi Japan has a hell of a team, don't they? Ricochet and.
That's my pick.
Yeah, they love their Juice, they love their Ricochet.
They just had the titles recently, too.
Okay, so here's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
This might be a Bullet Club heavy show. Because I'm almost positive Omega's going to win here at Dominion. And if it's a Bullet Club heavy show, it could be Bullet Club Rebirth. My gut tells me Taguchi Japan. But Steve is going to go with Bullet Club.
Okay. Wow, wow, wow. All right.
They like Hangman Pay, or they like Bad Luck Fale.
They do.
Yep.
Next, the Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championships, Roppongi Vice versus the Young Bucks.
Well, you know what they say. Those Junior Heavyweight Tag titles are just too sweet.
Yeah.
Going with the Young Bucks.
Same here.
Next. I mean, why would they give up all that free publicity with being the elite?
I know. Next, Cody versus Michael Elgin.
Is this for anything?
No.
It's for life. Cody Rhodes, Bullet Club goes over.
You're just picking Bullet Club and everything.
This is Bullet Club is for life, man.
I will pick Cody as well.
All right.
Next, for the NEVER Openweight title.
This is going to be good, man.
Champion Minoru Suzuki versus Hirooki Goto.
I'm going to say Suzuki retains.
Ooh, it's a lumberjack match, I think.
Oh, then I think that benefits the heels.
I'm going with Goto.
All right, that's good. We need to split.
Yeah,
no. May I ask, why are you going with Goto? I think we're equally as ill-informed on this.
Yeah, I haven't been following this one at all, this feud.
Goto had it for a spell, and this is the belt. I know that this is the title that changes a lot.
Yeah.
So that might give you the advantage there.
Sure.
But I don't know if it changes back a lot.
I don't know either.
All right, next. Junior heavyweight title. This probably might be...
Match of the night. Well...
Whoa. I mean, no, this could be a show stealer for sure.
Yes.
On any other card, this would be a show stealer. Takahashi, the ticking time bomb versus Kushida.
I'm going with Kushida.
I was going to go with Kushida as well.
Oh, darn.
No, that's not a big thing. He's in the middle of his he won the Super Juniors tournament. So he's the ace of the junior weight.
He is.
Junior heavyweight.
He is. And he lost to Takahashi last time they wrestled in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he's not losing.
No, he's not losing. He's winning.
That's getting obvious.
Yes, guaranteed.
The heavyweight tag titles, War Machine versus Gorilla Dust. I don't know how long they want to keep their own tag titles on the Ring of Honor crew. So I'm kind of thinking Bullet Club for life, Gorillas of Destiny go over.
I'm going with War Machine.
All right, that's good. They've had those titles for a little while though.
Since Honor Rising? No, after that.
Was it after Honor Rising?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Because that's when they made their intentions, voiced their intentions to win those titles, and they won them in Sakura Genesis.
I love War Machine, though.
Yeah, they're good.
This is going to be a fantastic match. This is going to be a good one.
Next, for the Intercontinental title, Naito versus Tanahashi.
I cannot believe they would take that thing off Naito.
Especially with Tanahashi having a torn bicep.
I could see... There you go. I could see Naito possibly losing in Long Beach, though. That might be the big title
change.
Who
do you think he's going to lose?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Adam Cole.
Bebe.
All right, you both think Omega's going to win, right?
Yeah, dude. Of course.
Will this match top their Wrestle Kingdom match? Will they go an hour?
So did you see what Kenny Omega actually said? He says, I'm not looking to top it. I'm looking to do something completely different. So top it. I'm hoping that means we're not going to do as much crazy crap.
Yes.
I'm really interested to see what the story is they tell here. That's going to be fascinating.
The story of the last match was Kenny can never get his finisher off.
Right.
So.
In this one, he's going to get like six of them off in Okada's.
What if this match lasts like 30 seconds and he does like 3 one-winged angels and picks up the win? And that's it.
That would be great. That'd be great. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to top the original.
It is.
Because you got to figure they probably went to the original. They probably go into this thinking, you know what? We'll give it everything we have.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, we'll worry about the sequel when we get there. Now they're at the sequel. So it's like, well, let's do something different.
Well, assuming Kenny wins this one, there's going to be a third match.
I think from what I understand, they've said they're going to do a third regardless.
Oh.
But it would make little sense for them to do.
Yeah.
You know.
They need to have a rubber match.
Story-wise, they need a rubber match.
Yeah.
So where did we part ways? We parted ways on the tag title, the heavyweight tag titles.
And the open weight title.
And the open weight title.
And the six-man tag titles.
Oh, yeah, man, because you know why? Bullet Club for life.
I wouldn't be surprised if it is a Bullet Club heavy show. I don't think they're going to sweep every match they're in, though.
Sure, man, why not? Bullet Club. You think, is Cody going to come out with some Bullet Club people? Is he going to wear some black and white, for goodness sakes?
No.
Come on, Cody, you're part of Bullet Club.
He'll have his shirt tucked into his pants again.
Exactly. Yeah, as late as his new Pro Wrestling Tees merch
shirt. It's still a good-looking shirt.
Bullet Club.
You're so tickled with yourself.
I got a beer, man.
All right, let's do some questions.
All right. First up, from Jen Lee Accepted. Hey, guys, quick correction about Sami Zayn. His new character is actually just his real personality. If you go back a year in the dirt sheets, you'll see lots of stories about heat he had for being too intense and analytical when planning matches. Kevin Owens referenced this on Jericho's podcast, saying that Sami can be... I like that he keeps on calling him Sami Zayn. Zayn can be overbearing... I know it's an autocorrect thing. I'm not talking crap. Can be overbearing and overwhelming with his suggestions, second-guessing in general, OCD about matches... But that once you got to know him, you would learn to love his quirks and understand how that made matches better. I could totally see that, too.
Yeah.
Just wanted you guys to know so you can stop blaming the writers. If you don't like this personality, then Sami Zayn may not be for you. You know, that's an interesting take on it. You're probably absolutely right. I don't really want to hang out with Sami Zayn now. I did. No, you know what? It would be absolutely fascinating to hang out with a guy who's that meticulous about wrestling because you could pick his brain for days and days and days.
It'd be
an
interesting conversation.
I just think it's not that appealing as a character on TV. It's my thing. What are you thinking? Open up to me.
I think it could be an element of his character, but I don't think it could be the entirety of his character.
Yeah.
Because some weeks it is a bit much.
It is.
Some weeks it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Some weeks it's too much.
Whenever they put a microphone in front of his face, it's too much.
I wouldn't go that far.
It honestly, I'll put it this way. He may be kind of like that. I feel like he might be doing this. I have no idea. I don't know the guy. Kevin Owens does. I feel like it might be a cartoonish version of what he does. Like if I all of a sudden was like super unfiltered Steve, that is not appealing. Nobody wants that. So,
if I sat here grumpy and not really say anything for an hour,
yeah,
wouldn't be terribly appealing.
Exactly.
We'd probably be making a living doing this.
Probably not.
So.
Yeah. Anyways. Next up from Finske Balamora. Who on the main roster do you think would benefit moving to 205 Live not only elevating themselves, but the brand as well.
Dolph.
I don't want him in 205 Live, I think we looked and
he's over the weight limit.
He's like 210.
He could drop 5 pounds.
Yeah, I like that Enzo referenced it.
Yeah.
He said, I'm 200. I'm 206. I'm
heavyweight. He's listed at 218, but he doesn't weigh that much.
I'm here to show the world. I don't want Dolph there. He's too tall. How tall is he?
6 foot.
It's too tall. It's way too tall. How tall is Neville? How tall is that? How tall is Cedric Alexander? Who do you think? Cedric is one of those guys who can hop to main.
Oh, yeah.
You look at Cedric's body type, and he's believable. You look at Noam Dar, no way. Like, Cedric's probably taller than Finn Balor.
Neville's 5'8".
And then Cedric Alexander
is... 5'10". 5'10".
5'10". What's Finn Balor?
I think he's 5'11".
So, yeah, Cedric is right there with Finn.
5'11".
5'11", yeah. Cedric's right there with Finn. And you said on top of that, he lost 20 pounds to get to the Cruiserweight Classic. I could totally believe, like, in terms of, like, who on main roster besides Neville, I could believe on main roster most, it's Cedric Alexander.
Yeah.
He's a stud.
Yeah, he is.
But that's not the question. The question is, who on main do you think benefit from moving to 205 Live? I don't know, man. I don't know.
What about Kalisto?
That's not helping anybody.
What about Finn?
God, no. That's definitely not helping him. Yeah, it's helping 205 Live. What, yeah, let me ask you. Finn moves 205 Live. Top 15?
I think it might crack top 10.
You're insane. That's insanity.
People like Finn Balor.
People love Finn Balor.
Yes.
But people do not want to flip over to a show where nobody's reacting to wrestlers.
They would react if Finn Balor was on the show.
I don't know, man. Yeah, maybe. No,
maybe. That'd be yeah, I don't know.
Oh, that'd be terrible. The bloom would come off really quickly on Finn Balor once he's on 205 Live. Are there any tag teams we could split up, bring over to 205 Live? Who's on main? See, the problem is this. There's not a lot of in-between these days. Either you're a scrub or you're really good. If you're a scrub, you're bringing 205 Live down. If you're really good, you're too good for 205 Live.
You're not going to 205 Live, no.
Yeah. Now, you go to NXT, a day with Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's other...
Oney Lorcan.
How big is Roderick Strong?
I think he's 210.
You think he's 6 feet?
5'10", 200.
There you go. Roderick Strong. That'd be perfect. Rebrand 205 Live. Put it in front of an actual live crowd. Bring Roderick Strong over. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? That's what... I'm telling you, man. That's what WWE needs.
I know.
The coolest shit in the world. I could take... Dude, I really want to take Lacey to a PWG show because she would get a kick out of it. Bringing her to WWE, she'd probably be looking at her phone a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
PWG is an experience. If they try to bring that type of vibe... to a show, and 205 Live would be perfectly suited for that because so many of those guys have done PWG.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that'd be neat.
Rebranded, the merch would sell. Man, put us in charge. Anyways, next up.
Next.
From JD Design. You go ahead.
Jay-Z Designs. Who would your ideal roster champions be with the current slate of superstars? Right now, they are overloaded with heel champions, and it's just weird.
Weird.
I don't mind guys like Owens, Jericho building up the U.S. belt, but Owens should definitely be back in the world title hunt soon. Curious to hear your list. So, ideally, who would be your champs on each brand?
Ideally, it would be Kevin Owens, U.S. champion. I'm good with that. Okay, I'll put it this way. Ideally, on Raw, for me, it would be Finn Balor, Universal Champion still. IC Champion, Miz, top five Intercontinental Champions of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't he be?
Cruiserweight Champion.
I kind of feel like everything but the Universal Championship is where it needs to be. Although, I mean, a case, yeah, it could be made that maybe, like, Jinder shouldn't be WWE champion. But I really like his run. I'm actually really happy with the state of SmackDown. I just didn't like when Randy had the title.
Mm-hmm.
If Randy still had the title, I would probably say AJ.
Mm-hmm.
But Jinder has it, so why not? Something new, something weird, something different. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yes.
Yeah. I like Naomi as champ. I like Alexa Bliss's champ, although the bloom is maybe coming off a little bit, but that has more to do with the whole Bayley thing. I kind of like her otherwise.
Yeah. As far as the tag champions.
I'll say this. I'll say this. Heel Sasha should be women's Raw champ. I'll say that.
Yes.
Oh, tag champions.
Revival should be Raw tag champs, but they've been out with injuries. So.
Yeah, but I like Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yeah, they're fine.
I like them, but you're right. Revival should be. DIY should be SmackDown champions. Or Fashion Police.
Yes.
But I like the Usos, too. I'm actually okay with the champions right now.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
Put that Universal title on Joe.
Oh, next pay-per-view. Who doesn't want that on Joe? I want it on Joe.
I want it on Joe.
Charles Sips. I know the odds are low as the stars seemed aligned for Reigns to be the one to slay the beast, but I feel having a full-time monster in Samoa Joe is better than the part-time Lesnar. What top star would gain the most from beating Lesnar clean? What top star would gain the most from beating Lesnar clean?
Shinsuke.
I still go back to either Shinsuke or Finn. But, I mean, if they really want to make a massive supernova star out of Shinsuke Nakamura, they could do that. Finn, I think, is fine regardless. But eventually, they're going to have to peak Shinsuke. And it needs to be against Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
That would have to be the thing.
Yes.
The trickster, Mr. Lipkin, go ahead.
It seems like the audience really struggles to connect with baby faces these days. It's not hard to see why. The heels are the only one who have clear motivations. They want the titles to hurt people or respect. As far as I can tell, the only thing that makes a face is that they aren't a heel. WWE has some top-shelf talent on the roster right now, but ratings are dropping to record lows. Can you book some motivations for the top baby faces in the company? He'd especially like to hear our thoughts on Bayley. He says for Seth, he'd book him as someone who wants to atone for his past misdeeds and win the title the right way this time without taking shortcuts. Seth actually did mention that.
That's kind of his thing.
He just kind of mentioned it once or twice. It has not been an ongoing thing, though.
It was with his Triple H thing, and I didn't like the person you made me into.
Yes, and that was best face Seth so far.
But this dude wants him to be like that Highway to Heaven guy going around making amends for all his mistakes.
I don't know if he wants to do something like that.
And he has like a old man angel guy in a baseball cap. Wait, no. Yeah, he was the angel and Michael Landon was the dude, right?
I think.
Or was Michael Landon the angel?
I don't remember.
I think that the old guy was the angel.
Okay.
I think. Trying to get his wings?
I know of the show. I don't think I ever watched it.
I love the 80s, man. Michael Landon was great, though.
Mm-hmm.
He had that, like, he had the most sincere looking face I've ever seen in a person. It was great. Motivations for top baby faces in the company. What's Finn's motivation?
Apart from getting the Universal title back?
Yeah.
Are we going to utilize Demon Balor at all?
Yeah, whatever you want.
Okay.
Demon Balor killed a family.
Make
now
it,
he's trying to
no,
atone for that.
Make it kind of like Bruce Banner and the Hulk.
Oh, I like that. That's good, yeah.
So
don't make me angry, Brock Lesnar. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry, Balor Club. Yeah, that's good.
Something like that.
Or he wants to like...
using Demon Balor comes at a price.
Mm.
Like he has to give up something.
Oh, a little piece of his soul.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that.
Or physically. You know, like
a finger.
Yeah.
A finger. Every time he uses demon.
Or like he can't wrestle for 2 weeks afterwards.
Well, no, like finger better. Like
well,
fingertip.
But, you know, after 10 matches.
I know.
He has no fingers.
It's all gone.
How is he supposed to wrestle with no fingers? He can't grab anything.
I'm trying to eat food. Like,
can't grab anything, Steve. It doesn't make any sense. It's a terrible idea. Next. You try it.
Can't grapple.
Try it.
All right. Sami Zayn.
What?
Sami Zayn used to run a dogfighting ring, and he needs to atone for that. So that's why he's running around acting like a pile of dog crap, talking too much. And what is your deal? I'm about to put you in a dogfighting ring.
Oh, goodness. For those who can't hear, Steve's dog is growling.
Don't cut this out of the show.
I'm not going to. That's why I'm explaining it. So it seems like you're shouting at nothing.
Steve's going crazy. Steve's going crazy. I kind of agree with the premise here, though. Like, baby faces don't really have a lot of motivation besides just being decent.
I know.
Bailey's like the only person who might, they might be able to come up with some motivation for her being good. You know, she just, I'm going to, don't wag your tail. You know, she's got the whole, you know, she likes kids or whatever. She's like a babysitter. She's trying to get some babysitting money. Gypsy hates the segment. Let's move on. What's next?
Yeah, she does not like this question. Next, from Anthony Iannota. What's up, friendos?
Iannota.
I've been a patron for about a month now, but have been a fan since the early 10 for the win days. Thank you very much.
Nice.
This is my first time asking a question. Nice. Raw's ratings have steadily declined since WrestleMania 32 when Roman was put on top. Anthony is not a Roman fan and think that his never-ending push is hurting the product.
Ooh.
Do you think that WWE attempting to get Roman over by basically sacrificing everybody else's momentum is a factor in the ratings decline?
I think it's a...
It's a factor, but not the factor.
I think it's a symptom of a larger issue. I think it is them not listening to their audience. Although we've said before that I'm sure they have metrics which would indicate otherwise, but there would seem to be a reluctance to change course barring injury.
Yes.
You know, instead of going with your hot hand, you go with what you really want to have happen.
Yes. And
when I say you, I mean Vince.
When I, and like the landscape of the industry is so much different now than it was even 20 years ago. In 20 years ago, if you said, okay, I'm going to push this guy and make him a champ, you could do that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You can't do that now.
Right.
You can't. At least not as overtly as WWE has been doing with Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious how ratings were affected when Daniel Bryan was in the lead up to WrestleMania 30. When it was clear that they were finally going to give him a main event spot.
I don't know. But I remember when we were watching back then, I remember always thinking, are they really going to do this? Never really believing it was going to happen until it actually happened, which was why it was such a euphoric moment.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's the last time that I can think of that they deviated from the plan to give the fans what they want, because they couldn't deny the popularity of Daniel Bryan.
It was such a unique experience because the fans were so overwhelmingly steering the course in this direction. With Roman, you have a much different situation.
Yes.
You have half the people loving him, half the people not loving him, and nobody knows what to do.
I know.
Yeah. Let's see here. Kyle Loques Bueno. Steven, let's see here. He says, third time's a charm question asker. Since it's June and halfway through the year, I decided to watch your end of year 2017 predictions video to see how it's going so far. Just looking at your top choices for the top titles, Larson said Bray for world title and AJ for universal / Steve said Samoa Joe for world title and Roman for universal. My question is, how would you book the last 6 months to make sure these predictions somehow become a lock? Keep in mind, you now have to move Joe and Bray to SmackDown and AJ to Raw.
I'm wondering if that's what we said at the end of the year, that those people will be champion.
Right. I think that's what he meant. So you said at the end of the year, Bray was going to be the world title holder.
Yes.
And AJ would have the Universal title. Okay.
And you said Joe for the world title and Roman for the Universal.
So I said Samoa
Joe. We're on pace to be wrong across the board.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Unless they pull some weird swerve and give Roman the Universal title
before WrestleMania,
that Survivor Series, yeah,
not gonna happen.
Sorry. So what I would do for mine is I would do this: Samoa Joe would beat Brock Lesnar for the Universal title. Understand that he's probably means he's going to be booked to lose, and so he bullies Kurt Angle into trading him for AJ Styles, which benefits you.
You only have to worry about your
I'm trying
picks.
To help you
no,
out.
No, I want to pick I want to pick my own scenario.
I'm trying to help you.
I don't want your help.
All right. Fair enough. So he trades himself for AJ Styles and goes over to SmackDown. But before he does that, he loses the world title to Roman, to Universal, to Roman, because Kurt Angle's like, you might be leaving, but you can't leave with that title. And he hires Roman Reigns as his mercenary for hire. But he's always, he fights naked all the time now. This is my new Roman Reigns. He's naked, which gets over huge because he's got like a monster thing. And then he beats Samoa Joe. And Samoa Joe, feeling violated by having to fight naked Reigns, goes to SmackDown. And
can I start now?
He beats Mojo Rawley for the world title.
So
who also wrestles naked. He gets his redemption against naked wrestlers.
AJ Styles wins Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
And says, I've already had the world title.
World title.
I want the universal title.
I want the universal title.
So he goes to Raw to try to cash it in.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Ooh. And then Shane McMahon says, well, we have AJ Styles, our top star on SmackDown, or one of our top stars, on Raw now. I need something back in return.
Sure.
And Shane says, you know what? I'm familiar with Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
We'll take him back.
Yeah.
And Kurt Angle said, okay,
that's
how you do it.
Yeah, Bray's been like bugging me about his work, so we're going to do that. We have video questions.
We have a lot of them.
So first up, CJ Reebley has a question.
Hey, friend, CJ here. So although we haven't seen it yet on TV, I'm really looking forward to a Luke Harper, Aiden English rivalry. With the rosters the way they are, what mid-card feuds, you know, combination of characters would you really look forward to seeing? I understand they're on different brands, but I would like to see Tamina versus Nia Jax. I don't know. For some reason, I think that would work. I don't know. That's just me. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thank you, CJ.
Thank you.
What mid-card feud do you want to see?
Ty Dillinger versus anybody at this point.
Ty Dillinger would be good. Who? Wait.
Anybody.
No, who? Who's Ty? What did you say? Fillinger? I don't know who that is, man. I want to see Aiden
You can't
English.
Sell that after you acknowledge my
I
answer.
I want to see Aiden English versus Luke Harper.
Yes.
I want to see that happen. Not a bunch of dark matches. I'm not there, man. I can't see that. Patrick Sparks has a video question.
Hey, friendos. Got to make this quick. Not work. So, when this goes up, the next day after the Saturday will be my 21st birthday. So, I'm pretty excited for that one. With that being said, if you could celebrate your birthday with any WWE superstars, past or present, you know what, fuck it. Throw in other promotions in there too. Throw a birthday bash with everybody you want to. Who would you pick and why? Thanks, friendos. Bye.
Thank you, Patrick. Happy birthday.
What is he like, 16 now?
He said 21.
Whoa! Time to get drunk with Patrick Sparks. Nice. Anyways, if you could celebrate your birthday with any wrestler, who would it be?
Oh, it'd be the Horseman.
Oh my God. Look, man, I've known you for a long time. I don't think you could hang with
No, I couldn't.
Good.
I'd be a guy that's hanging out on the couch with a beer in my hand.
Give me Evolution, because they ride around in limos and have sex with women.
How's
in
that
those
different?
Limos.
How is that different from the Horsemen?
Because the Horsemen are gross. You saw that celebration scene from Bash at the Beach 94?
I know. It's hilarious.
Bunkhouse Buck, his shirt's off. How are you going to wrestle in a thermal and then go in the celebration room and take your shirt off?
Well, he wasn't a member of the Horsemen. Only Arn was.
Arn
was looking sharp.
That begs the question: Do I get to choose the Horseman that you're partying with?
No, I do. It's my party.
Who are you partying with?
Well, you have Flair. You have Arn.
Okay.
Tully.
Okay.
And Luger.
What a terrible! I would party with Sid. I would everybody you said except Luger would be Sid because I could sit there and clown Sid. And like I'm always funny when I'm clowning, and so the ladies would laugh, and then that's my sex noise, and then he'd go, "Woo, look at my junk." No, Nate,
awful.
Put that away, Nate.
Terrible.
Manuel Garcia de Paredes has a question. Let's see what he says.
Hey, friendos, your Discord club designer Manuel Garcia de Paredes here with a question. After watching probably one of the worst segments ever with This Is Your Life, Bailey, and watching probably one of the best in the Samoa Joe, Paul Heyman segment, which would you categorize as the worst segments you've ever seen, and which are the best? Thank you. Three sweet. Discord Club for life.
Thank you, Manuel. What is this question?
best and worst segment we have ever seen.
What's the best segment you ever saw? Take the original This Is Your Life out of it, because that's by far the best segment that's ever happened on Raw.
Well, I mean, what is our definition of a segment? Is it any...
Non-wrestling segment. In the ring. In-ring segment.
When Stone Cold drove the beer truck in.
Oh, that was good. I'm going to say when Scott Steiner was the ring announcer. It was just him reading off names, running people down. It was great.
Worst segment.
Scott Steiner as ring announcer. Him running down people just seemed really offensive and off-putting. So mine is the same.
Okay.
What's your worst? Katie Vick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that wasn't in the ring, though. Didn't the whole Lita pregnancy Kane and that one?
I'm surprised
dude,
you didn't say live sex show for best segment.
Oh, that is totally the best segment ever because we got to see actual penetration.
No, we didn't.
We did get to see Lita's nipple, though.
True.
We did see some areola peek through there, her boo boo. Let's see here next. Jake Riley.
Hey, Stephen Larson. This is 2-time Philadelphia Flyer champion. Jake Riley coming at you with a video question for the first time ever. Now, watching the NHL and NBA playoffs, you have best of seven series. So I'm wondering, what best of seven series would you like to see? I would like to see a tag team one personally with the New Day and the Fashion Police. What are your opinions on it?
Thank you, Jake. What best of seven wrestling thing you want to see? Osprey Ricochet.
Yeah, that'd be good. Two competitors, best of seven series. Mm-hmm. That's a good answer.
That's what WCPW should do because both those guys.
Why not? I'll say this: Omega and Okada.
Oh man, I see. You know why I don't want to see that? They'll hurt themselves.
I know.
They'll kill themselves.
I know.
Can't do that.
Can't do it.
After this past week, TJP versus Neville.
Yeah.
I mean, best seven of those guys. Let's see here. Great question, Ty Perez. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, friendos. I'm just curious. If you guys didn't do this for a living, how much wrestling do you think you guys would actually watch? Thanks.
Thank you, Ty.
Thank you.
How much wrestling would you watch?
I don't think I would have gotten into New Japan had we not started doing this.
I agree with that.
A lot of Raw, especially, I would, because I DVR mm-hmm. Raw and SmackDown. I generally start a little late. I would probably get through a Raw in maybe an hour. I just fast forward through stuff that I didn't find interesting.
Yeah.
The
danger for me would be...
Maybe. I don't know.
If Raw was really that as crap as it can be, I might tune out. But SmackDown is so good.
Yeah.
I'd probably definitely watch SmackDown, and I would probably definitely watch NXT. I'd probably stick to SmackDown on NXT. I could see that. I'd be off-put with 205 Live by the crowds. And I don't think because we were forced to sort of watch 205, not forced, but because we made the decision to cover 205 Live and, you know, wrestling in general, we're able to look past the crap crowds.
Yeah, we can appreciate the right. actual show.
But NXT, I would probably totally watch NXT. That'd definitely be my jam still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. Adam Mayhem. Oh, the champ, Adam Mayhem. Let's see what he has to say.
Buenas tardes, friendo universi. Bienvenidos to another edition of Chit Chat with the champ and soon-to-be King of California, Adam Mayhem. Now, Stephen Larson, I have a nice little question for you guys. Actually, it's a two-part question. First of all, do you guys think that with this whole Enzo Cass getting knocked down and all of this, do you guys think that the one responsible for all this is at the end of the day going to be Enzo? Like, he pretended to get beat up the first 2 weeks and then he took out Cass. I don't know. I think it would be a good swerve. I think we're all expecting Cass to be the perpetrator of all this. But I think having Enzo be the one that actually is orchestrating everything, and he's going to be moving into more of a managerial role for someone, let's just say, you know, let's say the Revival or something like that.
But you guys think that that would be a good thing? And another thing, second part, is another Swerve thing. Do you guys think that Becky Lynch will turn, win the Money in the Bank, and then turn? Or do you guys still think that Carmella is the front runner for that ladies, women, Money in the Bank?
Thank you, Adam Mayhem.
Where was Enzo on our power rankings of people who did it?
Top five.
Was he top? Yeah,
well, I think
he was on it. You mean?
Yeah,
yeah.
He wasn't one or two.
He wasn't one or two. It was Cass and Revival. I think right. Cass, Revival.
Well, if Enzo is the one that's turning heel, then he would have to employ someone to beat up Cass.
He would need somebody. Well, he mentioned like possibly being with the Revival, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So is it Cass Revival?
You mean Enzo Revival?
Sorry, Enzo Revival, Cass. If it's somebody, if it's a third person, they really need to start introducing more people to the story so that we can know what, you know, that there are other suspects.
Yes.
Other people with motivation.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah. He also has a question about Becky Lynch heel turn. I don't think it's going to happen.
No. Now.
There's no reason for it to happen now.
No.
Next up, Alexander Carenti has a video question. Let's see what he has to say.
Do you guys like to do power rankings? I would like to hear a goofy power ranking. Rank your top five favorite going in Raw shtick moments, like your Vince impersonation, your Bray Wyatt impersonation, yelling the fashion police. I'm curious. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Thanks, Alexander.
Thank you.
Well, the draw for Uno
card.
Oh,
yeah. That's a good one.
That's huge.
Dog Steiner.
Dog Steiner is, I mean, he's still around here. Dog Steiner's big.
Name one impression.
I mean, the thing is, we always go back to Vince. We go to Vince a lot, and it's like, regardless of, like, you know, Dusty sort of faded away. Death faded away a little bit. Jesse Ventura faded away. What are some of the other? Well, Bray Wyatt's always around. But Bray, that was really heavy during that particular storyline.
Yeah.
I feel like that was my mode of inspiration. But Vince, you always come back around to Vince because
yes.
There's always weird Vince stuff going
yeah.
on. So there's that. There's when I used to shout Vince Russo's Hulk Hogan, you piece of shit.
That's good.
There's that one. That was a good going in Raw gimmick. Back when we had back and forth cutting conversations
yeah.
in the early days.
Yeah.
There was that.
I kind of missed that.
Really? I wonder if anybody else does. Would we ever go to like a 3-camera format?
Well, so
wide,
long
close, close.
So long as neither of us had to edit it.
Right. Oh, yeah. Good point.
Live to tape.
I have to do live to tape. Yeah. One day.
Number one has to be Larson not too sweeting you.
Oh, that's yeah, that's the
end one.
That's the endless gimmick.
Yeah.
That's
well, there is an end game.
Yeah, $200,000.
Got a $200,000 price tag on
it. A personal check for $200,000.
To Larson.
One. And then we need one more.
Do we?
Yeah.
We have two sweets. We have Draw 4. We have Dog Steiner. We have Vince.
Yeah.
And I thought you named something else.
No, anymore.
Oh.
Lex Luger. I mean, there's a whole Luger section over here. It's Lex Luger. It's great.
Yes.
The Steiner impression's good, too.
But yeah, it
sort
is.
Sort of outstated. It's welcome. Lee Fox has a question. Let's see what Lee has to say.
Hey there, friendos. It's your friend from across the pond, Lee Fox. First time video question. Do you feel that WWE has overbooked itself with talent? Also protecting talent. I'm not just talking about Raw SmackDown, I'm talking about NXT and 205 Live as well. I've seen a few things that have made me upset as a wrestling fan, especially a WWE fan. It just seems like it's the same matches over and over and over again. And again, it's just not on Raw and SmackDown, it's also NXT, also on 205 Live. Do you think creatively they've backed themselves into a corner? Also, do you not feel that if they added more belts to certain promotions, like 205 Live and possibly NXT, that people would have more to fight for and there'd be more storylines? Tell me what you think, friendos. Thanks.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you, Lee.
I don't know if they've booked themselves in the corner. They do have a lot of repeat matches, but I think that's because on 205 Live, it's because they were investing a lot of time in building up feuds, and for the most part, they've done a really good job with that.
Mm-hmm.
On Raw and SmackDown, it feels like they have their top five or six guys they want to keep at the top of the card, and they find new ways to put, you know, two to five of them
mm-hmm.
or 2 to 6 of them in matches.
Yeah, yeah.
In you know, various matches with various competitors.
Yeah.
And that's just how they've been doing things lately.
Yeah.
It's just how they've... And, you know, we read something that WWE doesn't really have a plan, per se, between now and the build-up of SummerSlam.
Right.
So they're kind of just spinning their wheels.
Yeah, a little bit.
And taking, you know, in the main event scene, for example, as I mentioned, the 6 top guys and just putting them in various matches against each other.
Right. I would think that the spinning their wheels thing might be a bit more on the Raw side than the SmackDown thing.
Yes.
Or if not, SmackDown's hiding it way better.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's kind of, you know, we sing the praises of New Japan, but the bottom line is we get their top stars in singles matches, what, 5 times a year?
Yeah, pretty rarely.
Otherwise, they're just in these giant cluster F, you know, tag matches. I kind of, you know, we sort of take WWE for granted. We get mm-hmm. a lot of matches, you know, mm-hmm. so that's fine. TGX has a question. We're going to see what he has to say.
What's up, friendos? You know who I am. This is the only champion in wrestling with less charisma than John Johnson. Anyways, I apologize in advance for my voice. I am just a touch sick. Not incredibly sick, just a touch sick, and so my voice is a little bit weird, but I'll be better by tomorrow. Anyways, so recently you mentioned that not every deserving person in the WWE gets to win the main event title, simply because there's just not enough months in the year for everybody who deserves it to hold the title. But that got me thinking, who could be some first ballot Hall of Famers that you guys can think of that never won the big one, that never broke into the main event scene, whether active or retired, as long as they're not already in the Hall of Fame? Who are some people with the potential to be first ballot Hall of Famers who never broke into the main event scene? Thanks, friendos.
Thanks, TGX.
Thank you.
So wait, what?
Competitors who never quite made it to the world title scene, but are worthy Hall of Famers.
Oh, but are worthy? I mean, off the top of my head, I'd say Miz. I know he made it to the world title scene.
Yeah, he had the world title.
I know.
Gold Dust.
Oh, okay. That's a better one. You think he's a first ballot? When we say first ballot, we mean a headliner. He's not a headliner, dude.
No.
He's not a headliner. That's why I say the Miz. The Miz could be a headliner. I understand he had the world title. Nobody really wanted that, though. Nobody liked it, and it hasn't happened since. So the Miz could be a headliner.
Who else?
Like, even Christian couldn't be a headliner. And he was a world champ twice.
I'm trying to think of well, for speaking strictly time in WWE, what about the Dudley Boys?
Because headliners?
I mean, they're the most decorated tag team in WWE history, aren't they?
Are there? Is it Edge and Christian?
Oh, it is Edge and Christian. But okay. One of.
Yeah. Did the Horsemen headline their year?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But I don't think they did.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Because I'm sure Flair headlined the year he was inducted.
When was Flair inducted?
I don't remember.
Yeah, me neither.
Most of the names you think of for first ballot induction are there because they're major main event players.
They drew majorly in the main event.
That's what I was trying to think of. Tag teams.
Who the headliner was this year was Kurt Angle. Then we had...
DDP.
Well, no, I'm talking the year before. I'm
sorry.
Headliners.
Sorry.
Sting.
Nash.
I mean, I would have thought Scott Hall wasn't headlining his year. That was Sting's year, wasn't it? See, I would have said Scott Hall could have been a headliner.
Yeah.
I would have said he could have been a headliner.
That's a tough question.
Yeah, that is a tough question. Luger. No, he was a world
not
he was
a headliner.
He was a world champion.
Also not a headliner.
He was a world champion.
Several times over.
The last real man, Silas Young. Power Lunch.
That's a tough one.
That's who I should have made King Llama. I should have made him Power Lunch.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been good. That would have been great.
That's kind of an obscure reference, though.
That's very
showed
obscure.
Up in one video.
I mean, son of Power Lunch.
What about the Hardys? I know Jeff was
the
world
Hardys,
champ,
the yeah.
But Matt was never world champ in WWE.
And Jeff's world championship, seems like it was like a thin time. No, you know what? I would actually say the Hardys over the Dudleys.
Okay.
I would say the Hardys over the Dudleys. And yes, I would actually say, yeah. But then, like, are you getting into what TGX is? The spirit of his question, I mean, they were main event of their division.
Oh, I know, I know.
Except for the, I mean, obviously the Dudleys were. So, I don't know. That's a good question, though. That's a good question.
I don't know.
China headliner. Especially in this day and age, with Wonder Woman blowing up and everything. China.
Well, I mean, if you're saying the Hardys are the main event in their division, so was China.
Yeah, but I'm like...
And she was actually in the main event of...
She crossed over into the men's division.
Yes, I know, in the main event, too. She was involved in the DX Corporation
storyline. Yeah, but she wasn't. I see what you're saying, but you see what I'm saying, too.
I do.
I think China... See, I think she'd... All joking aside, I've joked about this before. She totally could be a headliner.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that, yeah, because, yeah. That's my answer, China.
Okay.
Done.
Oh,
that's it for the show, too.
Yes,
wow, look at that.
Done.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And have a safe weekend. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.